What's up, heretics? It's the Religion of Speed podcast, the show for car nerds by car nerds. I am Matt Overstreet.
I am Chris Huffman.
I'm Hamza.
And I'm Aaron.
And I already messed up the back screen there. It says no signal. Let's see if that fucking... There we go. All right. So I want to get this podcast started today, and we want to get the elephant news out of the room. That broke down
really badly. We want to address the elephant in the room.
There you go. Thank you.
Welcome.
Baby Pegasus in the room?
Oh, ooh. Good way to enter that topic.
That would have been better. Why did you not host this?
Yeah.
Of course, we are talking, we'll just skip to, about Ken Block's death that happened a couple weeks ago. A snowmobiling accident took his life at age 55, and the world has been mourning since, honestly. I've never seen in the car world a single person who passed away that got just everybody. Like, manufacturers, everybody that did any sort of car media thing was posting something about Ken Block. And it was kind of crazy to see just how wide-reaching his influence really was. But, yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about, like, you know, I don't know. But first of all, I just want to say I was shocked to hear it and also not shocked at all.
Yeah.
You know?
I was shocked that it wasn't in a car.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he was racing the snowmobiles, but the snowmobile thing, I was like, wow, that seems kind of random for him. But it's also like, you know, you're right. He had such a massive effect on the car community. I remember watching the first three Gymkhanas over and over again, showing them to anyone who would watch them, so I would have an excuse to watch these videos again. He had a very big impact on the car community, and he went to WRC. And he caught a lot of flack for that because they're like, well, he's placing last. He's placing 22nd. It's like in WRC.
Right.
Against the best drivers in the world.
He's still competing and he improved, you know?
He did. Went from Subaru to Ford. And did he go back to Subaru before the end or was he Ford?
He was with Audi.
Yeah, he was with Audi. Yeah,
but he was racing Fiesta still.
Yeah.
So.
It's a major tragedy. It really is. I almost think that there's some sort of Final Destination element because his car broke down at Pikes Peak.
Right.
Like.
Yeah, and we were just talking before we started about how, what they say on the sweaters?
Yeah, he had hoodies that said, just don't die on the back.
Yeah.
And even we were talking about it. It's like, okay.
On this podcast, he was going to die in that car if it went up. And I can't believe that. God, that the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that he had died, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that about him. Because and then I felt so bad, and then I found out it was on a snowmobile, and I was like, "Yeah, I feel a little better."
A little better.
If it had been in the Porsche, but because I mean, he went going into Pikes Peak, he didn't have enough time to shake it down. Mm-mm. Like the team put the car together what, a month before at Pueblo Motorsports Park.
Oh, it wasn't even a month; it was like a couple weeks before, I believe.
That's wild.
They had the engine in, like when they unveiled it, it didn't have an engine in it.
And it was a rear engine car when it was completed,
yep,
with experimental magnetic suspension linked to an experimental GPS system. Like there were so many variables.
Yeah.
And I was just like, there's something is going to go wrong.
If anyone's going to crash, even though he's been on that mountain a bajillion times. He raced it before it was paved back in.
Did he race it?
I think so. With, is it Pastrana? Is it before Pastrana's time?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think Pastrana drove it before it was paved.
Yeah, because it was only in like 2000 something.
Yeah,
like,
I've only been there when the whole track was paved, or whole road was paved rather. Like the year I first went was the first year it was all paved, so that it could definitely have happened.
But anyway,
that video, I mean that like the climb Kona where he does Pikes Peak, and even I think the video right before it where they first unveil the Mustang, I think it's L.A.
Yeah,
right. That's always my soft sell into look at how cool this world is to people that aren't car people.
Yeah,
and I think that he's a person that just like we were saying earlier, he transcended the car community and just permeated so many other communities that you'll see kids wearing Hoonigan stuff that like have no idea what a turbo is, you know?
Yeah.
Right,
it's like it's the branding is just so immense.
I was at a family Christmas event literally yesterday and one of Whitney's like cousin's husbands was wearing a Hoonigan hoodie and I was like he's like a pilot.
Like, what? We don't want you as a Hoonigan pilot, please.
Turbo prop, dog.
Yeah.
forgot the word turbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great at, like, he got his start in DC shoes in the skate culture, and he was really good at bringing that culture and extreme sports culture to the automotive scene in general. And I honestly think if he didn't have that influence, the car scene in general today would look just so much different.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have the drift scene in America and is very skater culture.
Yeah.
You know?
I always say they're like the punks of car guys. Yeah. Like they're just out there like total.
Yeah. It's about like style.
That's you, bud.
Yeah. I'm one of those hooligans. Yeah. But guys like me were getting old and he brought the next generation into it. Like, I was in my mid-20s when he really blew up. And, like, he brought in that next level of kids. Those kids who wanted to go play dirt. Those kids who were willing to put Monster Energy stickers on everything. Like, he brought that really culture forward.
That's maybe not a...
Yeah, I don't like the Monster Energy stuff, but
yeah,
you know,
but now they're memorials. now it's not just a shallow, slarby thing to do. Now it's...
slarby.
Now it's a memorial.
Slarby?
Yeah. It's the word I use for people who wear flat bill caps and baggy clothing and...
Yeah, well, you know, my baseball cap's very flat. It's a slight curve, you know? That's how you know you're maturing. It's just how much your build,
how much the build older,
until it touches each other and becomes a circle.
You know what I really loved in the episode, they did that series on Prime where they filmed
the making of
Climb Kana.
Yeah.
And I think that the insight you get to him as a person and him and like Brian's relationship, it humanized him for me in such a way that like. When we went to that meet, you know, the Ken Block Memorial meet the other week, it's like, look at the diverse. It's just, he really could connect with people. And that's something that I think nobody maybe since. I can't even think of anybody else that has done that in the motorsports world.
Yeah, no, I can't think of anybody either. And that's another thing I was going to bring up is just like, I never have heard anything bad about the guy.
No.
You know, like, it seems like everybody that's a big car YouTuber or whatever, big in the car scene, there's somebody that's like, yeah, he's kind of a dick, you know? Or he can be, but never heard that about Ken. Now, I will say, back in the day, like, there was a period there after the first couple Gymkhana videos where I was like, I don't know if I like Ken. Like, it seems like he's using his money to get into WRC, and, like, I think it was kind of the fans, some of the fans that were kind of pushing me back, but then he just kept at it.
Yeah.
And he was just like, no, I'm going to do this, and he wasn't... He was always cool about it, and he was always just like, we're working on it. We're going to keep, you know, trying our best. And he just was humble, and it's so weird to see humbleness in this world at all, let alone for somebody as rich and big as he was.
Right, yeah. I mean, the only negative thing I've ever heard are people saying that, like, oh, well, his videos aren't all one take. It's like, no shit, they're not all one take.
Yeah.
He never claimed that they were.
Yeah.
It's like everybody makes mistakes.
That would be insane.
Right.
Like that.
That would be crazy, right? Yeah.
If he did that.
And everybody makes mistakes, like, and if I slid into a forklift, I'd probably edit it out, too.
Yeah. You know? I don't think people really realize the amount of work that it takes to shoot a car going down the street, let alone drifting under a forklift.
Yeah, while it's
on
moving.
On a pier, while it's moving, whatever, you know, like, I don't...
Dropping one wheel off a pier, like... Yeah.
Just... And then the post-production is so insane that, like, I don't know, just to get the shot and then have to put it all together to make... Such cohesive pieces.
Color grading.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Getaway in Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the old videos.
Old video.
Those are, like, kind of cool. And even, like, the Magnus Walker stuff is kind of, you know, that's in that same vein. But, like, these are my favorite driving videos, to be honest.
Yeah. And let's not forget, he released them for free.
Yep.
Yeah, on YouTube.
These were just free videos.
Yeah.
These things had to have cost... They shut down the city of Detroit once, which probably only cost $10.
Yeah.
But,
it's a case
still,
of water.
Yeah. Case of water. That's Flint.
Ignorance is, what am I? What's the word for being ignorant? I don't know.
Slarby?
Slarby? I guess that was very slarby.
Say, I don't want to call you slarby. You're not a slarb.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I'm curious to see where Hoonigan goes now.
Yeah,
I don't think they've posted anything since it happened, which that's, of course, completely reasonable.
I know that Hurt, I follow Hurt, he posted quite a bit about the impact that he had
on him
personally.
Yeah, I did.
Which I was like, wow, this is like insight that, you know, we don't really get. And I know his daughter posted stuff, which is a huge, I mean,
I don't know. I
can't even imagine. Like, she was like, she said he was like her entire life, especially because she was going into racing, and like, I just couldn't imagine like what that would feel like. It's awful.
Hopefully she's a chip off the old block.
Oh, my God.
Come on. That was a good one.
We end the podcast here. That's actually pretty good.
It was a good one. I can't be looking at a memorial picture while I hear it.
I'm sorry.
No, that would be like some good merch. And I will say to the people that are making KB43 ever, the Ken Block Forever thing that is kind of sprouted up, all the people that are making merch of that right now, fuck off.
Yeah.
Just like capitalizing on the guy's
probably
death.
The same people who made the little threes with the halos over them.
Yeah.
For NASCAR.
Yeah. There's always people, you know, capitalizing on somebody's death. And it's like,
yeah.
The only thing I might buy that would be like a Ken Block memorial thing will come from Hoonigan themselves if they release any sort of thing.
Yeah.
I doubt they will too.
The merchandise.
You know. And that's only if the funds go to like his, well, not that his family needs money, but, you know, something that Ken would enjoy. But yeah, no, it sucks. It sucks. We're never going to get to see him go up Pikes Peak.
It does suck.
I would have loved to see what him and that car can do. I'm curious what they're going to do with that car now. If they're going to put Travis behind the wheel or.
Yeah.
Because Travis was kind of taking up the helm of the Gymkhana videos from him. And I don't know. I'm just curious to see where things go because Ken was such a big part of Hoonigan and why they were successful. He was just a marketing genius, you know? So do things fall apart now or does this bring more people on? Or
I think it'll keep going.
Yeah.
But let's hope not. Let's hope that it doesn't fall apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so many videos. I remember when he debuted his Ford rally car. Mm-hmm. That was actually the first time I ever heard that Woo Boost track from Rusko.
Oh, really?
He used that to underlay, and just he and a bunch of people were dancing around his new rally car. And it was just like, hey, I'm in a Ford now. Here you go. It was just really cool. He did a lot to bring interest into the hobby of destroying tires. Well, like, racing is not just about the times. It's about having fun.
And he also was starting to bring interest into the world of EVs, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge hit for the adoption of EVs and stuff. Like, when he's doing, like, everybody's like, oh, EVs are stupid. But then he comes out with that Audi, and everybody's like, okay, that's pretty fucking dope.
Well, and the standard Ken Block Gymkhana fans are the ones who would jump on the EVs are stupid bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're exactly the people who needed to see an EV shredding.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing was shredding at 90 miles an hour. I don't know if anybody, like, if you watch the speedometer of it, there's that one scene where it's like you see, I think he's coming out of that hotel or something. Anyway, it was in Vegas, right? That one,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think he goes past somebody's like somewhere on the strip, but you just see like the thing is moving at like 90 or like 100 miles an hour, and it's still just shredding, like just all this smoke behind it. And you're just like, I mean, the torque, like that thing, and it looks so. Cool.
It sounded cool too.
Yeah,
it sounded like what I would imagine a futuristic fucking like sci-fi race car to sound.
It looked very cyberpunk and like
great word, yeah.
But end the segment. I don't want to go drag on too long, but you know, I just wanted to, you know, I hope everybody in Ken's life that he left behind is doing well, and I hope to see. I especially hope to see his daughter out still racing. I hope this doesn't discourage her because she was doing really fucking good. And we always need more women in motorsports.
We do.
If she can help lead that revolution too, and be like her dad a little bit, and inherit some of those marketing abilities, that would be amazing. But we'll see what the future brings.
I'm amazed he was 50. He does not look 50.
Right? Yeah. I was like, that was the other thing I was thinking. I guess before we move on, it was like, you know, yeah, 55. That's young. But if I could do half the shit he did before I die.
And still look that good.
Right? And still look at that age. I'm like,
yeah.
All right. It's going out on top, you know?
If you wear skate gear for your whole life, you'll look young.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works. Yeah,
that's
true.
That's a great button. Put on that segment.
Oh, yeah, I got my worn-out Vans on right now. So
I wore my New Balances today.
Oh, you did?
Do my Pumas count?
Probably not.
No.
That's some...
But they're high-tops or mid-tops.
Oh, well, they are. True. They are flat-bottoms, so close enough.
I'm pretty sure it's Puma Skate.
Okay. All right. Puma has a skate department?
Uh-huh.
Did not know that. Well, anyways, moving on. Hollywood star Frankie Muniz is going to be starting a stint in NASCAR. It's actually the...
They also make race suits.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh,
wow.
Race suits.
Wow. Wow.
That would have been the transition right there. Damn it. Yeah, Frankie Muniz joins the ARCA Menards Racing Series. ARCA is a semi-professional stock car racing league. It's pretty much the feeder series for NASCAR.
Okay.
The D-Leagues.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to be racing with Brett Jones Racing, who's not a team I know, but I don't know NASCAR that well. So if you follow NASCAR, you might know who that is. Yeah, he's raced before. Like, he's had a slight racing career. He did really well in, I think the bug bit him in the Race of the Champions, the celebrity race.
Oh, that's cool.
Not Race of Champions, the celebrity race they do at Sebring?
Or do they do, okay, like the GT86s or... Like a production-based car?
Yeah, back in the day it was like Camaros.
Oh, so, but it is a spec. It's all spec.
Yeah, spec series.
Spec series.
There, okay.
But yeah, like Jay Leno was in it. And it was, you know, just
Patrick Dempsey. Yep. He's a huge, yeah.
So, yeah, it says the last full season was in 2009, but he broke his back in a crash.
Oh, shit.
And his ankle. And so he took a break and then became a drummer for a band. And
wow.
Toured around Europe. And now after the birth, he says after the birth of his son, he's was trying to think of his legacy and what he hasn't done, what he wanted to do to like show his son that he can, you know.
Do whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's getting back in a race car, which I think is freaking awesome.
After he broke his back too, like that's a real commitment. Like that's somebody who loves racing, not just a celebrity who's kind of into it.
Yeah, no, that's that. From reading, like I knew he did a little bit of racing, but from reading everything about this, I'm like, no, this guy is just like, he's about it.
Yeah. Mm. That's really awesome.
I'm curious what his like car collection looks like. And,
yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like what he's very private. Like there's like this is the first news really. <that's laughs> right.
Well, there was some news that came out a few years ago where he finally kind of broke the news, I guess you say, about he has like long-term memory loss.
Oh,
like he doesn't remember
any of Malcolm in
the
middle.
So that's how
I've heard that.
That's
how
he can come back after breaking his back.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, just there fucking forget about it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
I was going to say, hopefully he just doesn't finish somewhere in the middle.
Well, as you say that, he expects plenty of Malcolm in the Middle jokes during races, much so that he's considering making t-shirts to sell at events.
I'm sure he should. He absolutely should.
It's always cool to see, like, you know, this guy seems like another humble celebrity, you know, getting into racing. And there's always been this link between Hollywood celebrities and racing, and more so in the past than current times.
That's true.
You know, but it, I don't know. Maybe this will cement his legacy a little bit more.
Maybe
he'll
be a modern day Paul Newman.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
He seems like a cool guy. So
we'll be buying Muniz's own salad dressing.
All right, so moving on, I saw an article the other day that the North American Car, Truck, and Utility Vehicle of the Year Awards were announced. I'd never heard of this award. Apparently, it's a independent award. It's not linked to any magazine or anything.
Okay.
With independent judges that rank every year the new hot new releases, basically.
Okay.
But the list threw me off. So we'll go through it real quick. The best truck of the year was the Ford F-150 Lightning.
Okay.
Those are they? I've seen maybe one.
It's weird. I see more Rivians here.
Oh, yeah.
Like so many more Rivians.
I see quite a few down the south side of Denver.
Yeah. Lightnings? Yeah. I've never seen one.
I've never seen a Lightning run, yeah.
Huh.
Like.
Yeah, I definitely see more Rivians, though.
Yeah, which they're twice the price.
Yeah, and the Rivian was on... Oh, no, the Rivian was on the SUV list, because that's the...
The R1S.
Yeah,
I've only seen one of the Rivian SUVs out in the wild.
Yep, same.
I saw one today.
Really? Was it green?
I see one around here.
It was like a light green, like a weird...
Okay, we might have all seen the same one.
I saw a white one.
Oh, okay. All right, two different ones.
There's two of them.
Yellow, goldish, mustard color that they have.
Oh, really?
Okay.
But that one, it kind of makes sense. There weren't that many trucks on the list, because most trucks just exist forever.
Right.
So there weren't that many new releases. And then
when is the most affordable EV truck right now? Currently?
Well, it was. We didn't report on it that the next year they're raising the price by like $15,000
for the base model.
For the base model.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I think they just did that price to get people's attention. And right. Then,
like, no, it's actually $70,000. Here you go.
And then the SUV goes to the Kia EV6 or whatever the fuck it's called.
Oh, so this is basically this is the same as a Hyundai Ioniq 5.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can say I wouldn't buy one.
Yeah.
That's just because I've seen them fail so much at my job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, there were a lot of other things on the list that would have made more sense. The R1S was on the SUV list, and I feel like that's more innovative and cooler than this.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Although I have seen the specs on the GT version of this and pictures of that thing like drifting and shit. I'm like,
looks good.
Okay. All right. Fair.
And it or the Hyundai counterpart might be in the new Ant-Man movie.
Of course.
Yeah, because they sponsored Ant-Man 2.
Yeah. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm excited about that movie.
It looks so good. Yeah, I'm excited.
I feel like this looks, they all look like more like wagons, and that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it's just a tall wagon. It's not even an SUV.
It's because they keep lowering the SUVs to give them like a sporty profile, but at a certain point, a lowered SUV just becomes a wagon.
Yeah, and we've all had an Outback.
At one point, we're going to hit that like all road.
The Accord Crosstour.
Back to that. Yeah.
Just get it there then.
Like it took us 40 years, but we're back around to the Griswold station wagon.
All right, and now I'm going to give you guys the list of their the cars that qualified for this year, or as far as for car of the year, and I want you to guess on which one they picked as their best.
Okay.
So number one was the new Integra. Number two is the i4 eDrive 40i. Number three was the i4 M50i. The Genesis G80, the Genesis G90, the Maserati MC20. Which I don't know if you guys have seen that. I think it's gorgeous. The new Mercedes C-Class, the Mercedes EQE, the Nissan Z, Porsche Cayman GT4 RS, Porsche 911 GTS, the new WRX, or the GR Corolla?
GR Corolla. I know that's the one we would pick in this podcast.
I don't know. I mean, I would want either the Z or the Cayman out of that list. I think I'd go Z on that.
If you could only have one car...
You know, I think as far as like what it not being so like limited in terms of availability and things like that, and as far as something that's supposed to be accessible to many people, I like the Z on that list.
I love the Z for that, but evidence from what we've seen of dealers, it hasn't been as available as it should be.
Correct.
It should be more available. Theoretically, it should be a lot more available than the GR Corolla because they built scarcity into the marketing. But the Z, it's just dealers making it unobtainable.
One too few, right? Is what they say.
Yeah,
right,
that's exactly the quote.
Disgusting.
Exactly.
it's just disgusting.
That's the disgusting thing to say up front.
Yeah,
it's right? Like if you do it, that's one thing. But to say you're going to do it, this is my intention.
I'm thinking the G80 or the C-Class.
All right. And the big reveal, it's the new Integra.
What?
Well, at least it wasn't the alphabet soup car.
I didn't understand this at all. I'm not even saying the Integra is a bad car. I've seen him in person. I'm like, yeah, that's nice.
The interior
But would you take
awesome.
One over really a lot liked. Of the other cars on that list?
The GR, that's the thing, is the automotive media was just creaming their pants about the GR Corolla
right
when it came out. And GR Corolla is the best car, and it drives amazing, and it's practical hatchback, and it's just like it does all the things. And then a rebadged Civic.
Gets
the award.
Not even a Type R Civic, an SI Civic.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's going to be the one that in a few years I'll be like, ooh, you know what? I'd love to pick one of those up because it's probably fucking awesome inside and out and drives great and is super reliable.
Yeah,
and
it'll hold up. That's true.
I don't see that. I'm happy it's that and not a G80 or some of the other weird things on the list.
Yeah,
I'm
happy that Genesis didn't get any awards there.
Yeah, they've just been paying off everybody left and right.
They really have.
New Kia Genesis are just like, when hey, Motor Trend, here's $10,000.
And a lot of these awards are really just that,
I did say that. Fuck you, Motor Trend.
I just like the price point, $10,000.
Well, yeah, that's all it takes to buy off Motor Trend.
They're very cheap. But they're hurting. Magazines Mustangs don't sell like they used to.
But it's, it seems like every time you pick up car and driver, BMW always wins the comparison.
Yeah.
And I love BMWs, but it seems like it's a statistical anomaly at this point. And it just makes me think, like, oh, huh, I guess. And then it shows you, like, well, what do car and driver staff drive? Like, 80% of them drive BMWs.
Ultimate driving machine.
I mean, they feel amazing, but I'm sure this thing feels incredible. I would love to drive one.
Well, and you raise a good point. It's a in five years,
drives like a Civic,
right? But that's,
which is amazing.
Which is exactly why in 5 years that's going to work. It's still going to work. Like, it's not going to have any major issues.
Let's just revisit that. What have you? When's the last time you've driven any Civic?
Probably when I worked at KC. Which the 11th gen was out by then. I don't know if I've driven an 11th gen, but I definitely have driven a 10th gen.
I mean, my 8th gen was like one of my favorite cars. The 8th gen sedan that I had, I love. I guess I'm a Honda fanboy, obviously, but yeah, this is. I don't know. I can never knock the way a Civic drives.
I just wonder if reliability was taken into account, or if, like Hamza said, money just changed hands.
Well, that's the thing. I tried to find what their criteria was.
Right.
And so I dug into it, and I even went down like the list of.
It's a very diverse list. Like there's EVs and SUVs.
Yeah.
And
so like, what was their
Genesis?
Was
there like $90,000? Some of them.
Right. What? Yeah. Was affordability taken into account? Was availability taken into account? I don't know. The only thing I could find for anything was the list of people who were judges, and most of them I didn't know. The only person who knew on the list was Doug DeMiro. He was on the list. But
so it might have won because it had enough Acura logos just
right.
printed on the
inside
of the
car. It was just quirky
car.
Enough for yeah. him.
I would have thought he would like the Corolla.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, it was like 50 people, so it comes down to a committee. And maybe that's it. When it comes down to what appeals to the most people, that checks a lot of boxes for a bunch of different people, you know?
It's cheaper. It's more reliable. You can say the name of it, not ID4 MX50.
Yeah.
I can see it offending the least amount of people.
Yeah.
I'm so. Definitely offended.
I don't feel like it's a political decision, and I choose to ignore that statement just because I know it.
It's so political.
GTI is not on the list is all well, I'm saying.
But that's what I'm saying. If the GTI was on the list and they had picked it, I would have been like, why? Like, tell me why. What about the MK8 is so amazing? It's the same fucking car from, I mean, just like this. It's the same engine.
Yeah, That's the weird part. So like this is because no, I think it had to be a new car or new for the model year. I don't know.
I just have to go back to the sidebar that we were beginning to have. There. Yes, the SI has the 1.5 turbo, but what did we discuss last week that had the K20 in it?
It's the new Integra. It's the new performance Integra.
The Type S.
Type S.
But it's not out yet.
Yeah.
So technically, that's going to be the same. With a K20 in it, really.
Right, but it's a K20 with a turbo, so that makes it better. You can repeat that over and over again, and I'm like, sweet, greatest hits, keep giving it to me.
Yeah.
So even with that new knowledge of, like, the let's just include the Type S. Can we include the Type S?
Because
it's still
an
Integra?
It's not.
No.
That's not what that is.
Okay. If this was a Type S, it'd be hard to argue.
They weren't judging the Type S.
Because the K-Series, we can all agree, is one of the best four-cylinder engines ever built.
If the Type S has...
And the K20C is one of the best K-Series ever built.
If the Type S has any of the bits of the Type R on it, which I'm assuming all they did was take the... and they just put a different body on top of it and change some of the bits of the inside.
Give it an analog.
Listen,
clock.
Yeah. The whole front suspension of the Type R is completely different from any of the other fucking Civics.
You say Honda with such disgust.
It's not that. It's bad taste, right? it's just bad taste. God, I hate those kids that would come into that store so much.
Sorry. I felt bad for the kids because the store didn't give a shit about them.
No, they did not.
That's what I felt bad because I used to be one of those kids. I used to be a kid with too much Civic, constantly getting tickets, way too loud.
If we had talked a little more when you had the CRX here and I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to buy it, that thing would be sitting right there and we would be putting a K-Series in it and it would be amazing and I would love the shit out of it. I love Hondas, but I don't think that that should be winning anything. Just like I don't think the fucking GTI should be on the. Like,
that looks really good.
I don't care if it looks. It looks like a fucking four-door sedan. It doesn't look
exactly.
really good.
It is what it's supposed to be, and it looks good. It drives good. It's probably amazing. And I would put my not-so-hard-earned dollars down on the table and drive one.
Knowing that the Type S is coming out, you
it would
buy
be
one
a Type
these.
S.
Okay. So we can all agree none of us would buy the 1.5 version.
I would buy the Type S in a heartbeat.
And you would buy the... We're going to assume
not that.
The price of the Type S is going to be about the price of a Type R plus a little bit. And you're
plus $11,000.
Yeah, so you're going to pay for that instead of like a GR Corolla.
No, I'm buying a Z.
There you go. Yeah. See?
That's the truth.
And you can pay the dealer markup on the Z for what you'd get this Type S Integra for.
So what? I was going to say, what's the dealer markup on the Z now?
So some of the protos are actually pretty ridiculous. Some of the proto trims, because they only made so many of those, with dealer markup are like $120,000.
Oh my God, I'm not buying a Z.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's my issue. I was so excited for the Z, but I have yet to see the Z offer affordability.
What was the MSRP on the Z? I thought it was...
It's like in the 50s, yeah.
I think it was 46.
Oh, like
52,
as the baseline? Well, yeah. I factored in, I know I want an LSD and big brakes. I want that on any Z I buy.
Because the GR, you can, like, the Morizo edition is $55,000. And you're losing back seats. You're losing functionality at that point.
That's true. And what did they add? Like another 400 welds to the Morizo edition?
Yeah.
To strengthen it?
And it comes with the two. Roof. Yeah. The carbon fiber roof comes on the performance edition too,
is
48 or whatever. And so do the only thing that the Morizo edition does is the fucking bigger wheels and better tires, which you can buy for like,
you can just do that yourself easily.
So stupid. Anyway, I got an email from a Toyota dealership nearby because I signed up to be notified when one came in and was available.
Okay.
And it was only the Morizo edition, which I was like, maybe if I sacrifice to the gods, I could maybe get a base. Like,
just get some cheap NRGs from K-Series parts, bolt them to the back with some harnesses for the kids.
And so I like reached out to the guy and I was like, hey, is it still available? And he's like, no, it's gone. I was like, I got the email 6 hours ago. And he's like, no,
it was gone 5 3/4 hours ago.
We sent the email out and then it was sold.
It was gone before the email went out.
Probably.
Yeah, that
while he's composing the email, somebody else is closing a deal.
I was like, damn. And that's so somebody like went and bought a $55,000 Corolla with a 3-cylinder.
That's true. No, when you break it down like that, it seems ridiculous.
So, in good news in that regard, I didn't put this story in there because I didn't dig into it too much. But one of the people that bought one of the first of the GR Corollas instantly put it back up for sale because he was going to try to fucking flip it.
Okay.
And he lost about $8,000.
Good fucking riddance.
Yeah.
Good riddance on that guy for trying to. And you know what? Smart. I give props to the person who bought it from him.
Yeah.
For $8,000,
you know,
less.
I should have asked about if there was a markup. I don't think there was because they weren't advertising. Like, the price was at like MSRP 55.
Well, I bet you what you got in there though, and they would have been like, so here's the number sliding across the table.
Here's $20,000 of
bullshit
paint protection film.
Yeah. Like, you wanted the undercoating.
Did you cover the entire car and 5 others?
You get an extra Corolla with it.
Yeah, you get a base model Corolla.
It comes with a base with crank windows.
Oh my God.
Fucking God seats.
Do you remember
for
back
some
in
reason
the day?
It still has ashtray? Sorry.
No. You remember back in the day, Hyundai would do that? A buy one, get one?
What?
No.
Yeah. Early days of Hyundai, you can get like the Kia, or I think it was Kia. You can get like the Kia Sorento and get a Kia Spectra free.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. The Spectra was such a shitbox.
It was such a shitbox. They couldn't get rid of them.
That's hilarious.
Oh, speaking of just bullshit that happened recently,
dude, so fucking sad.
Yeah, so for those who didn't know, which I don't know how you could have avoided this story if you were on the internet at all, a mechanic here in Denver, actually in Englewood, right up the road from my house, crashed a Supra off Santa Fe into a train.
A parked train.
A parked train.
The train did not hit him.
Look,
he hit the train.
That rail yard is, like, bigger than the highway for what it's worth.
And yeah, and it was wild. So Friday night, I just went out drinking and randomly met the son of the owner of this car. And he was able to show me proof. He had pictures, he had video. And yeah, he wanted to cry, man. And I don't blame him. His dad was the original owner of this car, bought it brand new in 1997. It had 17,000 miles on it. Not 70. This is a Mark IV Supra, original owner with 17,000 miles on it. That just doesn't exist anywhere.
No.
That is an irreplaceable commodity, even if he gets $150,000 back.
Okay, I have a burning question. What tires? Can you zoom in on that? They were
summer tires. I talked to the guy. That's why the kid wrecked it. Because you remember when he wrecked it. Yeah. I didn't even drive my BRZ, which has 200 horsepower. This has 1,000.
Yeah.
It had 1,000 horsepower tune. And you can see, I'm sure you guys have seen the video. He cuts into an intersection doing about 70, straightens up, and then loses control, which means he either got on the throttle like an idiot or downshifted like an idiot, which you can't do in a car that has half as much power on these tires in those temperatures. Well, it just lost control.
You can kind of see it in the video where the turbo spools. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as soon as the turbo spools, it loses traction.
Yeah, he loses it. Yeah. And he had two opportunities where he could have saved it.
Yeah.
He could have pulled the handbrake, spun out. Oh, no, that's embarrassing. I saved the car.
So we should talk. Sorry.
No, go.
We should really talk about this because it's such a burning point for me. If you've ever been on a track on a summer morning when it's 60 degrees out, if your tires are cold and you're going in there like full throttle into like a turn, you're spinning. Like you're losing control. And like I've spun out at High Plains. I've spun out at PPIR because my tires were cold.
Oh, yeah. And these are front-wheel drive cars, by the way.
Yeah.
This is liftoff oversteer.
200 horsepower, yeah. 250, let's say. So it's just so frustrating when we see stuff like this because it's like you have to know these things. Like if you consider yourself a car guy and you're out there screwing around on all season. Like we see it all the time. We see Subarus and stuff crashing in Aurora and stuff, and it's always these kids. And you're like, my first question always is, what tires were on that car? Even at stock power. Like, if you're just out there,
you have to warm them up.
There's a reason why tires have, like, well, yes, for sure. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. But they're also just like your normal passenger tires that come on your car. All of those have speed ratings.
Yeah.
So that you don't do stupid shit like that.
Yeah, and I mean, be fair to, I mean, the owner wasn't driving it.
So
it
was,
supposedly
no,
the mechanic
not, yeah.
that worked at the shop.
Well, the owner wasn't driving, like, and the tech who took it out was not supposed to be allowed to drive this car.
Oh, really?
He took it out on a joyride. When he wrecked, this is the crazy part, is everybody's seen the video. His friend was following him, filming for Facebook Live. And when he wrecked, he deleted it. But it was live. It was out there.
So
that's why
shit.
We've all seen it. They told the cops he was doing 30 miles an hour and they had just done an alignment and were just checking the alignment. And that's why it lost control, because it was misaligned. And luckily, there's this video, because otherwise the owner would have thought that it was just a tragedy.
They could have at least tried to spin it, yeah.
They could have. The car was in Bespoke Motorsports. It was in for a minor coolant leak. And this happened.
It had a major coolant leak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have even touched the alignment rack for a minor coolant
leak. That up top, that's the intercooler on top.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The massive intercooler.
Yeah. I'm assuming it fell off and they just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking at those tires, I think they're RS3s or RS4s, hot Hankooks. Kind of what they look like.
And overcooked it on that
one. That's not a good tire.
And supposedly the owner's had to close the shop since then, because people all over the internet, people all over the world have been calling, threatening to burn his shop down.
Yeah.
I mean, so he called customers and like, get your car out, we're shuttering the doors.
Yeah,
that
which
sucks.
That's bullshit too.
Yeah, because like, the owner didn't, this kid took it out without permission.
Yeah.
And wrecked it.
And it's like, yes, I get it, when it's one of your employees, you have a responsibility, it's your employee, that kind of stuff. But when they do something against what you said, there's not much you can fucking do there, I suppose, you know? Like, don't harass the shop. Like, this was the kid that did this. It was something.
Oh, they released his name?
No, they didn't release his name.
What?
His it's like name using is... a murderer.
No, there was a lot of hate towards this kid. Like, people like, I will murder you, which, people,
that's ridiculous.
It's a car.
This is worse than murder to me. I'm sorry. Like, he deserves.
By not making he deserves any more jail time,
and he deserves to not be hired as a mechanic anywhere ever again. But don't be killing the kid. Come on. What was I going to say? Oh yeah, the drive. I got the article. Took the information from the article. They reached out to Bespoke, and Bespoke was like, "Yeah, we're not saying anything without our lawyer, basically," which is probably a good idea.
That's
right
fair.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the first Supra I ever drove is identical to this, just a Mark IV target top 6-speed. Not that I owned, but that I drove, and it's crushing my soul to look at this. And you just watch the video. He's like on Santa Fe. Like 60-ish, drops a gear and just rolls into it, and you're like, yeah. And oh my God.
And he tank slapped one way, and then he went back the other way. And yeah, it was
the only.
He tried to save it.
It's kind of impressive how bad the crash was.
It's kind of impressive that he walked away. He wasn't wearing his seatbelt. He was ejected from the car. He got a bruise, and he was fine.
Fucking lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. This insanely picture. Lucky.
Yeah, and if you've seen the video, it rolled 4 times.
Yeah. It looks like it rolled 4 times.
Yeah.
It's just sad that, you know, we watch Ken Block go out that way, and then this kid gets to survive this.
Yeah, I was
thinking. That's fucked up. But
and then this kid gets to survive.
It pisses me off so much.
It's like, this little shit walks away.
The most heated this podcast has been.
I'm just looking at
it. Podcast gold. What are you talking about? Ratings through the roof.
I will say I do feel like, given this picture, if Jesse had about 15 grand on my parts from Japan.
2J engine, no shit.
This thing will decimate
all. No shit. It's a Supra.
Do they swap them?
Oh,
I can't.
Oh, man. But yeah, before we end, just to your point, Hamza, yeah, like it's cold. These tires don't work.
It's 100%.
And this is exactly what George said over and over again. He's like, we don't take it out when it's like this.
Yeah.
Like the owner didn't take it out when it was like this.
Yeah. Although I bet, man, in that cold weather, for that brief second, that engine felt great.
I bet.
Boost weather. Yeah. Boost weathered its way into a tree.
Well, cold weather's great for drifting. Your engine makes more power. Your tires have less grip.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So the other crash that I want to talk about is the potential used car crash that is, potentially coming from Reuters. Reuters? Is that even Reuters? Routers?
I thought it was Reuters.
Reuters? Yeah.
Reuters?
Well, we've got 3 different pronunciations. One of them's right.
Like they're on roids?
Yeah, yeah, like they're on roids. Yeah.
Okay, Reuters.
Yeah.
CarMax is pausing some hiring, halting share buybacks, and cutting expenses after reporting 86% drop in third quarter profit as the industry struggles to offload inventory amid waning demand.
Well, it's these high interest rates.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that's dropping the housing market.
Yeah, but it's affecting the car market even more because.
So they bought all those cars like last year at a.
Yeah,
higher
elevated
price.
So they could say they had inventory.
And then, I'm sorry. It's just like
it's hard to feel sorry for used car lots, right?
I give a shit.
Yeah, it's hard to feel sorry for used car lots because you're like, well, if I found this on Craigslist, it would be $10,000 cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And now it is.
Right. Yeah, and then Carvana, the one we have on the screen right now, in 2022, let go 4,000 employees. And as it struggled to deal with the debt that it piled up as it acquired cars at elevated costs.
So
which also Carvana had a lot of issues apart from the economy.
We have one of those elevator vending machine buildings off I-25 in Evans, and it's still empty.
It's just empty,
It's been there for quite a while.
It's been empty for a while, too.
I wonder if you could buy it as some sort of Bruce Wayne penthouse. So you could just, like, have a house and park your cars in and live in the vending machine.
God, some super rich dude could easily buy that building and just be like, cool, I'm going to put all my cars in here.
Yeah,
like,
this is my clubhouse. I'm going to display everything.
Anyways, the point is, are we finally going to get to the point where a 95 Honda Civic doesn't cost $6,000 on Marketplace?
I've got my 99 CRV for $5,500 on Craigslist right now.
Hey,
so.
It's got a brand new cat. It's lovingly installed.
Right? That shit's expensive.
The raw materials. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if because I had a guy yesterday call immediately and try to beat me up for 3. And I was like, no way, dude. No, go find another 5-speed one.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, blah, 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 KBB, this and that. And then I did start thinking about, well, what if the used car market is not what I think it is right now because of these types of things going on?
See, but I think there's a big difference between this, like, we'll say sub $10,000 car and what they were selling cars for, you know, 30 to 60, let's say. Right. They weren't.
At steep interest rates.
At steep interest rates, because they weren't dealing with, like, that old of a car. You know, Carvana, CarMax, they don't, they only go back to, like, 2010, I think, you know.
Plus, anybody who says KBB in their argument clearly does not know about what car prices actually are.
Yeah, that doesn't, the blue book doesn't really mean much anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. But, and I think you're right, the reason these expensive cars aren't moving right now is because of interest rates, because you can get a brand new car off the lot now.
Right.
It's still hard, but you can.
Yeah, you can order one. You might have to wait.
Yeah.
But if you're going to pay an insane interest rate, go over an insane term, you might as well get some with a brand new warranty.
Right. So I think there's still, we're still going to see elevated prices in the sub 10K range, just because there's a lot of people that still need cheap cars.
That's where we live.
Right, yeah. Yeah. That is our wheelhouse for sure. But let's hope at least, at the very least, this means the crazy markups on regular-ass car, brand new cars are going to disappear.
No, let's hope Z's will be affordable. Even though that's not a regular-ass car, let's hope that when the non-proto trims hit, you can get them for just over MSRP.
I mean, I'd love to even pick up a used one in a couple of years that's, I don't know, in the low 30s or mid 30s, an appropriate, like, hey, I can have a $700 car payment that's not a Civic sedan.
Right.
So people are still selling. Like, damn it. People are still selling. So, like, on Facebook, you know, like on the GTI groups, they're still selling like GTIs with like 36 to 40,000 miles for 27, 28,000. Like, I bought mine brand new for 28,000.
Yeah.
Like, how?
Yeah. Like, people are still trying to sell Fiesta STs for like anywhere from 10 to 15. You know, and it's like, no, those two should be at this point like 8.
Yeah.
Like, they've reached that point, you know, and it's like, I don't know what. I don't know. We'll see what the market does. There's still a big demand for cars.
We're going to have to buy some Religion of Speed car when everything implodes. Yeah. Like, we'll have to, whatever's a really good deal at the time.
Just like a new car or?
A used car. Oh, like, okay. we'll have to get a good Craigslist special podcast.
Well, Aaron keeps getting like free cars, so we'll get
one of those. Yeah, I got the Cutlass.
People are like, no, I'd rather drive my Cutlass than this Forester.
Well, speaking of that, anyways, we'll move on because that's a story for later. I want to move on to a story that I saw that we're moving into a future where EVs are going to become more of a thing. We're trying to be more eco-friendly in every aspect of being a car guy. And Goodyear's new Better Future tires that they unveiled at CES, of all things, Consumer Electronics Show, which has now become just... It's just CES. It's no longer the Consumer Electronics Show. It's just a show for things. But
do you have a new thing? Yeah. We got a show for you.
Could you not get into SEMA?
Goodyear's not getting into SEMA because of all the Chinese competitors. Wow.
That's funny. Right? So this tire is supposedly 90% made of renewable resources, including soybean oil, rice husks, and pine resin.
Can you
eat it?
It's crazy because Better Future just sounds so Asian to begin with.
Well, and look, there's a little hyphen in between the T's.
Better Future.
Better Future.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, right on the image I'm seeing. Is it not
that's
there?
That's dust.
Oh, is that just dust?
That's dust.
That's just dust on the screen. I was like, wow.
Better.
So I want to know what this thing smells like when you burn it.
Yes. That's exactly what I wanted to say. What does the smoke look like?
Yeah, it's like, that smells good.
Are you cooking?
Yeah. It smells like pine tar.
90% of the tire's ingredients are sustainable and has passed regulatory testing for road use. So this is like, this isn't just like a random concept. They say they could do this. They say this one still needs work as they try to scale up production type things. But they do say they should have a 70% sustainable tire here soon, and there's actually a website that you can sign up for, like, more information. Like, they're coming out soon.
Are tires not made I have a question. Yes. This is a serious question. Are tires not made out of rubber? Because rubber is like a tree. And so what is the difference between growing rice and soybeans and trees? In fact, I think soy is pretty bad for the soil.
Yeah, soy is very bad.
So, it soils the soil? Oh, it,
I guess you can grow a new crop of soybeans and rice every year.
Faster.
Soybeans actually put nitrogen into the soil, while corn like saps
they're legumes.
Yeah.
I guess technically
that field behind my house I was talking about earlier when I was growing up, it would always swap between corn, soybeans every year.
Because if you grew corn every year, it would seep the soil, it kills the soil.
Yeah, it would, you just kill all of it. Yeah.
The far just south of the shop is soybeans.
Oh, yeah.
One of them.
It's weird that they grow crops out here. It just seems like a really weird place to grow crops. It's the desert, but anyways.
But yeah, but they have these crazy elaborate irrigation setups and everything,
right?
Too. Yeah.
So anyway, so I guess my point is how much more sustainable is this? I guess it's 70% more sustainable.
I think. This is renewable resources. I don't think tires have been made from legit rubber, at least not fully legit rubber for a long time. So I think they're petroleum based.
Yeah.
You know, and this is at least renewable resource, something we can keep growing.
Yeah.
And these tires also, they only made a little blurb in the Motor Trend article, but they did mention something about these tires being developed more for EV cars. So
it's sustainability on sustainability.
Yeah.
Because what these are not sustainable.
You think you want to put these on like a Chevy Malibu or that new Hummer EV,
right?
That is less efficient than a Chevy Malibu.
Well, I think the reason there's a difference is because of the weight of EVs.
Yeah.
Tires need to be actually like a little bit stiffer sidewall and tread design needs to be more robust because they will just smoke through tires if you don't put the right shit on there.
That is interesting. I didn't think about that because the lithium batteries are so heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what's a Tesla weigh?
Well, in the UK, ridiculous amounts. In the UK, the new Hummer, you have to have a CDL to drive it because it's so heavy.
The EV?
Yeah, dude, it's so heavy. So I've thought about this too. Like, right, you have to have like different types of brakes. You have to have crazy different suspension to handle that weight. You have to. So tires totally.
Because I know they do the regen braking, and I knew that was so they could charge the battery. But they also need that additional mechanical drag just to stop something that weighs 8,000 pounds. Is that how much these are weighing?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean,
wow.
I think a Tesla SUV is close to that. The Rivian is like something like that. Ridiculous.
That's really, really heavy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to know how much a Model X weighs now.
Yeah, because that seats seven people. Like, that's a big car.
Seven Americans, 8,000 pounds. That's a fucking
13,000-pound
car.
You need a CDL to drive that anywhere.
What are the tires going to look like on the Tesla trucks, like the semis? Because those are starting to get delivered. I think Pepsi just took delivery of a bunch of them, and I guess Frito-Lay, Pepsi are the same company. But anyway.
Yeah.
What do those tires look like? How, like, what ply is that? Because, I mean, when I bought off-road tire, all-terrain tires for the Armada, but I was like, oh, I need to make sure, like, I didn't think initially when I started the research that you had to figure in towing capacity onto your tires. And so I was like, oh, we have, like, this giant camper that we need to tow.
Yeah.
And so you can't just get, like, super soft, like,
yeah, you need, like, an LT tire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's interesting.
Again.
Yeah. I mean,
so you have the dualies that are on those semis. Yeah, they have to be really, really hard compound.
Next time you're driving, like you're coming down I-25 or something and stuck in traffic next to a semi, look at the tires on them because most of the time, every tire is a different brand. one of them has like no tread on it, the other one has a bunch, like they get maintained like shit.
Well, they put retread on them.
Yeah, they
retread. Which we find road gators all over the highway.
Yep. And road gators. I've never heard that term before.
Are those just like the...
Because it's like a long, scaly tail. And it will bite your shit and break you.
That's your southern coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
They're all over I-25. It's a massive hub. I mean,
yeah.
That makes sense.
But like, so now you get the Tesla trucks in here that weigh even more. And it's like, you probably want to, once again, take care of those tires. Because otherwise you're going to have a big issue with a blowout or something like that.
I'm very curious how that truck is going to revolutionize that industry. Like, if it does.
Not.
I don't know.
That truck won't.
I feel like there's certain routes that truck will be able to run, and then a company with more infrastructure will be able to take that and like build something really cool out of it. Like they'll be like just the road between like LA and San Francisco will be like the most efficient shipping lane.
I mean, think about so if we're concerned about like what will the trailers look like? Will there be like range extenders on the trailers? Like that sort of stuff, right? Like that's all I'm.
There's a lot of surface area for solar panels.
Tons.
Well,
of surface.
What if we give the trucks a dedicated lane that has a wire above it that can charge them as they go?
Like the bumper cars at the carnival.
Have you guys heard about trains?
How about that?
Genius.
Yes.
Thank you. That's where I was going.
I was like, and then why do we even need to self-drive? We can just put them on tracks.
Train already kind of self-drives itself.
Oh, shit, we invented the train.
We could make them steam-powered.
Yeah. The steam could power an electric. All right.
That's my big problem with the whole electric truck thing. It's like, if we're going to do this, let's just rebuild the train infrastructure. And then we can use the electric trucks for city stuff.
Yeah.
For like the local, you know, deliveries. Well, that would make more sense.
Those Hyundai drones that you can just put under a trailer and they can pivot both ways so they can actually get into tight areas. And
yeah, trying to get like a semi-truck downtown right now, like you can't do that.
Right, but there's still a Trader Joe's down there that has to have semi-deliveries.
Right, yeah.
So like, yeah, something like that, something where it can actually move in a way where it could stay in its own lane and it'll hit the dock square every time. There's not a gap for people to break their ankles in.
you seem to talk about this like you know.
I used to work for FedEx.
We can discuss that more afterwards.
Right.
Ooh.
I want to discuss these.
That makes me happy.
These are actually, a lot of people are hating on them, but I really like it. This was at the Tokyo Auto Salon, or Tokyo Auto Show. Gazoo Racing unveiled these. They are 8.6 chassis, one of which is full EV and one of which is hydrogen powered with a 4AGE.
What? It's a 4AGE and it has a hydrogen fuel cell?
With side draft throttle bodies.
God, that thing has to sound incredible.
I'm smitten.
Well, right? I mean, you heard what those hydrogen powered cars like the Porsche were building sounded like.
Well, we had the Corolla one on a previous episode.
Can you imagine a 4AGE with ITBs?
Right.
And a hydrogen fuel cell? And right next to the EV making no noise at all?
Right. And it's really cool. These, for those just watching the audio version of the podcast, they look like Takumi's 8.6 from Initial D.
I wonder if it actually says Fujiwara Tofu on the side. I can't read kanji characters.
Though, so each one's different. So the kanji on each car is different.
Yep.
So I wonder if they say like electric or hydrogen or something like that. I could have translated it. I just was lazy. But that was really cool of Gazoo Racing because they're on Watanabes. They got Cusco suspension, bride seats, Takata harnesses.
Badass.
Like they did them right.
Yeah, and I love that they used 11 for one and a Trueno for the other.
Yeah, it was a perfect combo.
Really cool.
GR just had these hanging out. So they were like, all right, what are we going
to
do?
Yeah, what are we going to do with these things? I really like the graphics on them, too. It's just a little splash at the bottom there that shows EV or H2.
The only thing I can think about when I see them, though, is that EV one looks like Mountain Dew from over here. Is it green, even? Or is it?
It is green. It is green and black. It's Mountain Dewy, yeah.
So the 8.6 BEV concept uses a Tundra HEV electric motor, which I didn't realize.
That's a lot of torque. Maybe only in Japan. Not a Tundar, right?
No, not a Tundar. The actual Tundra. And it uses multiple Prius batteries.
Okay.
So that thing probably scoots, I would imagine.
I bet it does.
Now, I will say, the hydrogen one I'm a little confused about, and I couldn't find any good information. I wanted to do some more digging, didn't have enough time. It says the H2 concept retains the 4AGE. But it's powered by hydrogen. But they also said that the engine only provides a small portion of power and what Toyota describes as the appeal points of sound and vibration from an internal combustion engine.
So the 4AG is just there for a visceral feel.
That makes me so happy.
That's a lot of effort to go through just to retain that. So I wonder, is it hydrogen electric?
Yeah, like is it? Is the 4AG, is it just powering electric motors?
I don't know. I couldn't find any more info on it. Apparently, though, the EV, at least, does have a simulated manual transmission.
Wow, that's kind of neat.
Which I'm not too keen on, but that is something Toyota has said they are going to possibly... I think we talked about it on the podcast.
We have, it's like, okay, yeah, it's awesome that they're doing it, but it's entirely unnecessary and created solely for my benefit.
Right.
So it's like, is it better with that? And is it the kind of thing that I could just switch off because it's simulated?
You probably don't, like, you could...
It's probably like the video game, the Fast and Furious video game we were playing at the one time. You just, like, do this, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like,
I'm pretty sure with, like, the a lot of the home-built EVs, I know they retain, like, manual transmissions all the time with those. Yeah, I mean, they do it with the Roadster EV kit. They do it with this guy with a Volkswagen. So.
I've seen an 8.6. It was on Hoonigan, actually.
So are they actually putting a transmission, like a real transmission?
And are you physically disconnecting it when you push the clutch?
Yeah.
This specifically, on this car, specifically said simulated.
So then there's no... So then, yeah, it's just like... Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah. So I don't really like that. That's like...
It's a little nipple.
part of the appeal...
Have you seen the Golf R? Have you seen that? It's so gross.
No.
The new, the MK Golf R, the DSG has this tiny little like shifter. It's like this big. And like it...
So you can just be like... Mm?
Yeah.
Something Volkswagen drivers are used to.
It's trying to train all the Volkswagen driver guys to help their girlfriends. Just a little...
Yeah.
just double click the mouse. Yes. Just keep going.
It's a grower.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think he was talking about lady parts.
Yeah. I don't know if you've met some lady. Never mind. We're just moving on.
Right. There's a quagmire ahead of us that could only be stopped by going to the next slide.
We need to do some more Sunday afternoon. I think it's the tamales. What was in those tamales, man? We got some attitude
in a
brick.
Just a little bit of MDMA.
I
only put just a touch of MDMA. Just a little molly in all the tamales. They're tamales.
But anyways, the point is, it's really cool of Toyota to just understand their heritage and do something cool to like bring new technology in. To round out the episode real quick, because we are getting to the end, I did want to talk about what our predictions, because we went over last time what our goals are, New Year's resolutions. But what are your predictions of what 2023 is going to bring for the automotive world? It's a big question, right?
I think there's going to be at least one major class action lawsuit. I'm not going to say which brand.
I think we can all assume.
But I think it's gonna happen. I think there's gonna be some revelation and a bunch of very angry people and a lawsuit and probably not a big settlement this year, but the road towards it.
My big prediction is that the EV Corvette is gonna miss its launch.
Oh, you think they won't be ready in time?
I don't think they're gonna be ready in time. I think they're gonna push it back.
Okay.
I've seen some issues with those, and I think they have a little bit more work to do before they're ready for release. I don't think it's actually going to, because it was supposed to be released this year, if I remember correctly, and I don't think it's going to hit that.
And this is the EV Corvette sports car, not the Corvette branded SUV.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we will see.
I had that same question.
But that was the other thing. For one reason, I was saying a lot of Corvette about Corvette as the brand, and I do think we will see the Corvette SUV debuted at an auto show this year.
Okay. At an auto show.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the flesh.
I could see that, like at SEMA this year.
Well, like Detroit Auto Show. Yeah. Okay. That's be my guess. You guys got anything?
I think that there is going, it's more motorsports based, I think, but I feel, and maybe it's just me stemming from like my own personal desires, but
projecting.
I think I'm projecting, but I feel like, come to some of the news we've been discussing, like Ken Block's impact on just pop culture in general, and you know, Frankie Muniz, that guy.
When can we start calling him Frank?
Right? I was thinking that too. It's like, it's a little insulting to keep calling a 37-year-old man Frankie.
That's true.
Hey, sorry.
Just I mean,
Frank Muniz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like a killer. I don't like
that. it does sound like Frank a serial Muniz. Killer.
That sounds like he's got a rap sheet.
Francis Muniz.
I hope and I think we're going to continue to see a resurgence in like grassroots motorsports and more young people getting involved, especially with kind of everything from COVID in the last couple of years really feeling like it's kind of run its course. I think we're going to see a lot more people enjoy more things that are more expensive.
Yeah, I could see that.
I hope that's the case.
Right? Yeah. That's kind of the dream.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a prediction. I think we're going to see a huge slowdown in EV production due to like resources. Cause we saw it, I guess, due to a lack of resources. Yeah. We saw that kind of happen with chips and mm-hmm. stuff like that, with just normal cars. But I think we're going to see a huge dip. And I think Toyota is banking on that a little bit. And I think that's why some of the decisions that they're making with like the hydrogen engine and trying to stay with the combustion engine and putting in how many millions of dollars have they invested in internal combustion engines going forward? I think it was like, we were just talking about it last.
I don't remember the number.
Like hundreds of millions, I think.
Yeah, especially in their hydrogen combustion. They're really, yeah. Clearly from that last story, they're yeah. still on that train.
Yep. And I think they're right. I think their gamble will prove to fruitful.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I did see another article on, how did we pronounce that? Reuters. that there are a bunch of people in the top of Toyota right now that they call them a silent majority that are not very keen on, or not, don't think the EV thing is going to work out very well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be amazing to see that development because, I mean, part, you were talking about the Green New Deal earlier. 90% of the American aviation fleet still runs on leaded gasoline.
I know. Hell yeah. I love that.
Yeah, with
jet fuel.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is jet fuel, you can run jet fuel in a diesel power plant. It just stinks. But apparently you can actually if you have a diesel airplane.
Jet fuel is a form of diesel?
So you can put jet fuel in a diesel and it'll run. I don't know how well and how much damage it'll do, but it will run because they've been talking about trying to transition the American aviation fleet into diesel, but that adds heavier components.
I'm just imagining all these planes rolling coal.
Yeah.
How is this better?
It's shadier.
Solar powered electric drone and a Cessna just coal rolls all over. A hydrogen. An efficient enough hydrogen-powered fuel plant could replace that leaded gasoline. And we've got plenty of hydrogen.
Yeah.
We can create plenty of hydrogen. So if we can develop that technology to the point where it's half as efficient as gasoline, then that puts us at a pretty significant advantage because we can't use electric for everything. That's why they're not in planes, because the batteries are too heavy.
Well, one thing that we're not considering is recently the like nuclear fusion has been a huge has taken a huge step forward to becoming a real like solution.
I mean, it's
to,
net positive for the first.
Yeah,
time.
It's yeah. net positive yeah. for the first. Yep, and that's crazy. So that's I don't know sweet. How that is going to change. Like, I might be totally wrong, and by the end of this year, they could be like, we did it. It's done.
Right.
We're ready to move forward, and we're going to start building fusion reactors. I don't know how many you would need.
Well, and we keep leaping forward in nuclear development, and then we get a meltdown.
Yeah,
and
but
then
that's
a whole generation
that's
is.
That's the thing about fusion is
yeah. you can't melt
the only
down.
Thing that could happen is you could have a catastrophic explosion. Like,
but it's not like a nuclear explosion.
No, but you're creating a tiny sun.
Yeah,
yeah. You're doing yeah, it, that's just inherently.
Oh, so it's like Spider-Man 2.
No, it's like that's exactly.
Okay. We had to put this in terms that Chris would understand.
Yeah, say. Give me a Marvel movie, I'll get it. Yeah,
we just don't need a guy with. With four extra arms to hold it. I don't know why that was the solution. I got this. Under control.
So that way he can come back in the next movie that he was in and learn the power of friendship.
I mean, that's what they did in the last Spider-Man movie.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Alfred Molina is a national treasure.
But yeah, because I was thinking about that too. I'm like, how much can we, if we get them really efficient, how small can we scale them down? Can we have a nuclear reactor the size of even an engine?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that we can throw in a car to power it for ever.
And does it have to be shielded?
They would never do that. They would never put something so that would power forever.
It uses
that's just not like profitable.
No, it's not.
It creates an electromagnetic field around it. Yeah, it's to hold in the radiation.
So you literally create an electromagnetic shield around it.
Yeah,
like a sci-fi shield around.
Yeah, you're like, for all intents and purposes, you're creating a tiny sun. It's
that
insane.
Awesome.
And then, like, it's just,
you know what's the funny part though?
That means we can get to the asteroid belt in our lifetime.
Even all this advancement that we're doing, like we're like, oh well, this is like the craziest way we can make unlimited energy. We're still creating heat to boil water to spin a turbine.
Yeah,
it's still steam powered. We're back to steam power again.
That's true. All the nuclear power plants have all worked that way.
Jay Leno was really trying to pioneer.
Yeah. We're bringing back the Stanley Steamer, is what I'm saying.
I like that you brought that back to Jay Leno. That's why he was working on a steam-powered car.
That explains it.
He was looking to the past to see the future.
Oh man. The future's got to be weird, guys, but yeah. I can't wait
future's to... going to be steam.
Jesus Christ.
Invest in train sets. Sorry. That's it.
All right. We're going to call that for today because we need to turn the heat back in the shop. It is freezing in here. The sacrifices we make to make this podcast.
We freeze for you.
Yes. But of course, as always.
For you. All right. Let's do it.
Stop, Aaron. as usual, if you want to follow all of our other hijinks, religionspeed.co on Instagram and Facebook, religionspeed on YouTube. There's the website, religionspeed.com.
TikTok stuff happening
sometimes.
There's
some TikTok stuff occasionally.
Some short-form vertical content.
Yes. I have another one in the works. I 3D printed a part for a car.
Oh, cool.
At work. And it worked. It was kind of cool. It was just a little trim piece for a sun visor, but still, that was the first piece of a 3D printed thing I had put on a car.
Nice.
Well, and those are the things you can never find.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason we did it. It was either that or a $300 visor.
The whole visor.
The whole visor. Yeah. It was like, no, we ain't doing that. So I should be getting that out pretty soon. But yeah, otherwise, that just leaves us with one thing.
Well, we'd like to thank the band Wheels for the use of our theme song, Colors. You can hear them on the album Traveler Part 1. You can find them at Wheels the Band at bandcamp.com.
That's going to do it for us today, heretics. Until next time, peace out.